That. Yeah. I love that. Heart treatment. Woo! It's good, isn't it? All right. Hey, Tony, would you do me a favor and stand up? Can everybody see Tony? Now, she's not a six-footer, so come over here and stand on the first step. And I'm just not funning, but I want everybody to see her. Tony is our SOZO director here in the East. Those of you that went through SOZO training, how many of you went through SOZO training? All right. And if you want to be on the SOZO team, this is the gal you need to see after service, okay? We're going to be taking applications and get this process going so we can bring wholeness to an entire generation, all right? So this is who you want to see. Thanks, Tony. I just wanted to make sure that you knew who you wanted to talk to, all right? SOZO. All right, I've got to tell you about a couple things, and I'm going to minister one thing. That's all I'm going to minister is just one thing. So next Sunday night, I understand we had a soaking service last Sunday, and I missed it. I was in Florida preaching and doing other non-church things. But anyway, but we're doing another one in the West next Sunday night, and I'm very excited about that. So you're certainly welcome at 7 o'clock, and I want you to know that these opportunities are to stir up the gifting within you. There are also opportunities collectively for corporate anointing to lift you into a third heaven, to lift you into a place with God where you will see the sights and sounds of heaven. Something the Lord's been showing me is that there are sights and sounds of an unseen kingdom that God wants to make real in through the natural senses, sights and sounds of the heavens. So these are opportunities for you to go into that place, and I believe there's going to be a release that's going to be huge that night. Then the next thing I want to talk about, which is this is really important for all Valley View attenders. April 9th, Bethel Music, who's doing a tour of the East Coast. If you've not heard of Bethel Music, I'm trying to think of who the people are. Martin Smith, Jen and Brian Johnson, and Dion Whitfield, Mike's grandson. He's going to be, no, I'm just kidding. Someday he will be. But they're touring the whole East Coast, and God sovereignly brought them to North Coast, Church on the North Coast. They have venues that are 5,000-10,000 auditorium seating, and God supernaturally brought them to Lorraine on Wednesday night, 2,000 seats, well, 2,000 people. I don't know how many people will be sitting during that concert, but that'll kick off our Hunger Conference. Thursday night here at 7, Friday morning at 10 here, Friday night at 7 here, that Bethel Church, Pastor Steve and Cindy Witt, and our church are hosting this conference. We're going to bring together our prophetic teams, we're going to bring together our worship teams, and it's going to be an explosive demonstration of releasing the sights and sounds of heaven into a region. Not only that, but other pastors have already said they want to join us. I believe that transformation is going to begin taking place, not because there's external unity, but because there's internal submission to Lordship, which is going to cause us all to be on the other side of the veil and show up in the glory of God. So mark it down. Don't miss a night. Don't miss the morning service. I'm going to preach. Steve's going to preach. We had a bunch of speakers that were coming. And then all of a sudden, they evaporated. And it was like God said, no, you speak. No, Steve, you speak. Then this week, here's what developed. Steve called me. He said, you know, I really sense that we need to send out a letter to all the ministers and leaders of Cleveland and talk to them about what God has done in our relationship, that how prophetically the Lord's brought us together, and that we really believe that this region is ripe for transformation. So at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I want you to pray about it, if you're a ministry leader, you've got a parachurch ministry or pastor, you'll be invited to a forum where we're just going to sit down and disclose what God has been doing these last probably 6 months. And it's been really amazing. And we're hoping to expand it. God is beginning to stir pastors all over Ohio. And I'm finding myself right in the middle of it. And I didn't even ask for it. I'm like, okay. And they're saying, well, you're going to have to be on this apostolic team, and we're going to have to go to these different churches and teach and bring transformation. And I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this. That's not what I'm doing. I'm I'm a pastor right here at the church. But there's a groundswell of hunger. Amish churches are being touched by the Holy Spirit. We're seeing Catholics, Lutherans, we're seeing Baptists. Watch out now. It's going to be an amazing thing, right? How many know it's going to be great and it's going to be wild what God's about to do? Hallelujah. So the dates are April 9th, the concert. That's $20. You have to buy the ticket online. However, Thursday night, Friday morning, and Friday night are free. You just show up. And I'd love to see this packed from stem to stern and just see it full of hungry hearts wanting to cry out and seek God with all their heart, with all their soul. So would you mark it down and be there? All right, great. Okay, let's go to Psalm 27, verse 4. Whew, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I would like for you to quote this scripture with me as we look at it on the screens, okay? Let's everybody read it. Ready? One thing I've desired of the Lord, that I will see, and that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. That word inquire is actually meditate or muse upon or to think about. And allow the Holy Spirit to give revelation to what God has spoken. But nonetheless, I want us to talk just for a minute about one thing. When I began reading this scripture, I saw that one thing is a choice. And I don't know about you, but my life is filled with multiple things. I am a multitasker. Does anybody do that? Where you're talking on the phone, you're writing notes, and you're planning next week's, you know, agenda. It seems like I'm in meetings and I'm getting text messages and I'm listening to the person talking and I'm responding back as politely as I can to the inquiry on my phone. We're multitaskers. This is a generation that has multiple inputs constantly. But hear the scripture, the psalmist, David said this, one thing will I do. Now I want to take you back to John chapter 11 for a minute. Because we find that Jesus spoke in Luke, rather, chapter 10, verse 42, that one thing was needed, that one thing was necessary. If you could put that scripture up, I would appreciate it, please. Or I need to get my Bible. Did I bring my Bible in? Because it looks like we're going to be kind of having difficulty on that. I thought I had my Bible. Did somebody take my Bible? Oh, wait a minute. I put it down over here. I'm sorry. I took my Bible. Now I take it back. Thank you. I get so excited about the Lord. I'm like, God, that's not fair. I can't do one thing this morning. There's so many things you're showing me and so many things that I'm hearing. I want to do them all. He said, just one thing. So in Luke chapter 10, and we read in verse 42, Jesus said this about Mary. Well, verse 41, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Have you ever been there? Worried and troubled about many things. Man, do I relate to that. But then he says to her about Mary. He said, but Mary, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. And I thought, wow, God, that's amazing. Did you know that one thing is a choice? One thing is a choice. That part where both of them came to Jesus over their brother Lazarus' death, they said the very same thing. Had you been here, he would not have died. Martha gets a theological discourse on the resurrection. Mary gets a manifestation of the kingdom, and Lazarus is raised. How is it that both saying the same thing and two different results? Because Martha had many things going on, and Mary had one thing. How do we know that? Because in that scripture in John, it tells us that when she spoke the same thing that Martha spoke, she fell at his feet and began to worship him. And that one focus, that one thing on Jesus, so inspired him that the Bible said Jesus wept. Now, I've shared this with you before. I don't believe Jesus wept because Lazarus was dead, because he knew the kingdom was about to manifest, because he found somebody that was locked in with one thing. And he knew that he could release the miraculous through that person. And Lazarus was going to be raised. He was moved by her worship. He was moved by her choice. So I know that choosing one thing changes the atmosphere in which we live. Now, I've been experiencing this as of recent, because I've decided that I'm going to really pursue God in a stronger way in my life. And I can't keep repeating it enough. December 2nd, you know, disconnect, reconnect, connect to heaven. Really get this atmosphere established in my life. And we've been doing that. And I try to plug in. And I've read the Bible through 3 to 4 times a year for 30 years. I mean, I've always been one that read the Bible. I've always prayed. I pray in the Holy Spirit 45 minutes to an hour a day. I've always done my due diligence. But the Lord brought me in to a worshipful place at His feet. And anywhere between 1 and 3 hours in addition now, I've been soaking in the presence of the Lord every day since December 2nd. And I see the atmosphere changing. Here's what I notice. I notice windows of heaven opening up. I didn't know they were there before. And you know what? When many things are in my life, you won't see them. The Holy Spirit showed me. He said, you know, when you live this one thing life, when you are focused on this one thing and not concerned about many things, I'm going to give you a kiss from heaven. I'm going to give you an opportunity to demonstrate the power of God to a generation. T and I were just enjoying ourselves. We weren't doing much, having a cup of coffee. I was looking at a men's health magazine. I hate reading those magazines. Don't eat this. Don't do that. Do more of this. I'm like, oh, boy. But I was reading a men's health magazine. Tina was sitting next to me. She was looking through a magazine, just flipping through it. When suddenly a woman was at the magazine rack, just 4 or 5 feet from us, and she looks at my wife. She said, excuse me, ma'am, are you on TV? My wife was flattered. She said, no, I'm not on TV. She turned back, looked at the magazine rack, looked back at Tina and said, aren't you a news anchor? She said, no, I'm not a news anchor. And looked at the magazine rack, turned back to Tina again and said, do you work out? Now, if you know my wife, that's really funny, because she doesn't. Okay, she rides a bike and she walks, but she doesn't lift weights or do all that Pilates stuff or any of that. And Tina said, oh, no, I just walk a little bit, I ride a bike. And the woman said, well, I'm fat, and I hate myself. When she said that to Tina in the bookstore, a window opened. When you are in a one-thing mentality, you recognize when windows open. All of a sudden, Tina throws the magazine at me. She gets up and she says, as she's proceeding to this woman, which she's never met before in her life, what's your name? She says, Melissa. And she grabbed hold of Melissa. She goes, Melissa, don't you ever say that again. Jesus loves you. You are created in His image, and God's got a great plan for you. And then Melissa's like, oh, okay. And then she says this. She says, well, my arms are fat. And I am like really taking risk here. So Adam, you protect me from her. You got me, baby. All right, Jenna, you protect me. So Melissa lifts up her arm and she goes, look. And she goes like this with her flab. She said, look how fat I am. Now, my wife is very self-conscious about that. And it runs in her family. Grandma Crippen had skin that hung about a foot down below. You know, when she waved twice. You know, hello. That's how... You're like, hello, 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 hello. That was Grandma Crippen, remember? So Tina's inherited some of that. And so she doesn't wear short sleeve shirts because she wears like 3/4 or something. She stood up and she said, "Melissa, look at mine." It was a one thing mentality which led to an open window that closed as quickly as it opened. If you're concerned with many things, these windows constantly open in our life, and we never see the portal of heaven to release God's word and glory into another situation or another life. So I just came out of worship. I was in the presence of the Lord that morning, and Tina was out on assignment with another person, and so I love vacation because I can read or worship or whatever I want to do as long as I want. And so I just spent 3 hours with the Lord. I mean, it was wonderful. I'm worshiping. I'm crying. I'm like, "Oh, God, you're so good. Oh, God." So then I said, "Well, it's time to go to the pool." So I get my book, get my music, and I'm heading to the pool. But I remembered I needed to get a parking pass to move our vehicles and to park in a different place, because this association office told us we had to move them. So I walk into the office. As soon as I open the door, this lady's sitting there, and I said, I'm here to," and she went like this. And they went back down to the computer. And I started to tell her, I said, "I just need a park." She said, "I'll be with you in a minute." And they went right back down to the computer. And I thought, "Okay, God, window. I am here on an assignment to bring heaven to earth. I know what this is. I recognize it. There's about to be a resurrection here. There's a one thing atmosphere that is showing me an opportunity." So she finally gets off the computer, off the phone. She says, "Okay, can I help you?" And I said, "Yeah, I just needed one of those parking passes." And she goes, "You know what? They leave me here all by myself. I've got all this work to do. This computer's going crazy. People are walking in. The phone's ringing. And then my boss wants me to go to 3 buildings, 3 floors in each building, and put these passes under all these doors to these condos." And the Holy Spirit said, "You do it." And I said, "I'll do that for you." And all of a sudden she stopped and her face changed like, "Really?" I said, "Yeah. Now, I want you to know that I'm not that holy, not that spiritual, because I was in a one thing mentality, but there were some other things rumbling down here. Like, you're on vacation, you're going to the pool, you don't even know this woman, you got other things to do, let it alone." I'm like, "No, one thing." So she proceeds to give me a list of 40 homes or something. 3 different floors and 3 different buildings and a stack of papers. And she goes, "Thank you." And I'm like, "Hallelujah." And off I went. So I go through there and I put them all in these places. And I noticed she forgot the 1 building list. So I had to go back. I said, she goes, "You've done already?" I said, "Well, yeah, but you forgot the 4th building. And she said, "Oh, no problem. Here it is." And it's like, you know. And so I'm like, "Okay, I can go do that." And I went and did that. And I came back and she was gone. There was a sign on the door that says, "I'm on property, be back in 10 minutes or something." So I took all the extra stuff and I put it between the handle and the door and I walked away. Well, mission accomplished. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't lead her to the Lord. I didn't pray for her. I didn't give her word of the Lord. I just loved on her. So a little while later, I'm walking up these steps. And in these steps, at about the top, you can see into the office where she works. And it's a glass door. And I was just walking up, and I happened to glance over, and she was sitting at her computer, and she catches my eye. So we catch eyes. She jumped out of the chair and went, "Hi." "Hi." I went, "Hi." The psalmist said, "One thing have I desired." We need to reduce the multiplicity of our lives. To say, "I live and move and have my being in you. I live to hear the sights and see the sights and hear the sounds of heaven. I live, O God, for you to download to me at moment's notice to bring heaven into a life." And I'm beginning to see that. And the psalmist knew it all along. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek. That I will seek. And it reminds me of the woman in Luke 18 who came to the unjust judge and said, serve me justice. He said, go away, woman. He said, not on my watch. Because she was so focused on one thing. She was focused on seeking. She pounded on the door. And what did the unjust judge say? Oh, man, let me get up and answer this woman. Let me deal with this thing. Because this woman is about to wear me out. So it's a seeking. It's a seeking of God's presence. That I'm not going to quit. See, if you didn't get up this morning and resign yourself to say, I will not be defeated and I will not quit. Because then you're not in the one thing mentality. You've got to begin to declare that. For years I had that written on my mirror in my bathroom. I'd get up and I'd get myself ready. I'm like, I will not be defeated and I will not quit. I will not be defeated and I will not quit. You think, well, what is it to seek the Lord? I heard a story a long time ago. Maybe some of you have already heard it. A seasoned preacher who was powerful in revival, operated in the gifts of the Spirit, many healings and signs and wonders. And a young preacher aspiring to get into the ministry came to him and said, sir, would you teach me? Would you show me how it is that you've attained such gifting and such anointing in your life? He said, sure, I'll show you. He said, let's go to the river. Okay. So off to the river they went. The seasoned preacher gets into the river about waist high and he bids the young man to come and join him. As they're standing there, suddenly, the old wise preacher grabs him by the neck and shoves him beneath the water. 10 seconds, 15, 30, a minute. After a minute, this young preacher begins to struggle and tries to fight the wise sage of a preacher to let me go. He wasn't letting go. Another minute and a half, finally 2 minutes. When the man was frantic under the plane of the water, he let him up and he came up through the water. What are you doing? The wise preacher said, you ask me for the anointing and the presence of God to operate in your life, so I showed you how to get it. A bit bewildered, yes. He said, when you desire and seek that breath of air you just took that saved your life, on the same level that you seek after Christ, you'll walk in a heavenly dimension. That I might seek. That I might seek. David said, this one thing that I've desired, this one thing that I may do, that I may seek the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I like Luke 2:37. A woman was a widow of about 84 years and who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Can you imagine dwelling? You know, dwelling means to abide. Dwelling means to live. Did you know what I can do in my house? I don't need light. I can get up in the middle of the night and navigate my way right around to the kitchen and get a glass of water. I know 3 steps here, then you go this way, and then you put my hand on the end of the counter. When it's over, I go to the left, boom, sink. Reach to the middle, voila, water. Because I dwell there. Over the years, people have given us opportunity, Tina and I, to use their timeshares around the world. We've been so blessed. Thank you. Some of you might be here today that have done that for us. And we've gone to Paris. We've gone to, I can't remember all the places we've gone over the years. But when we get there, it's foreign to us. The dwelling is always interesting. You know, sometimes they're really good and sometimes they're not so good. But when you walk in, you have to learn the arrangement of the dwelling. Now, getting up at night in that dwelling, you might hurt yourself. But like yesterday when we got in about 9:30 last night, Friday night, we walked into our little apartment, and I know those 800 square feet like the back of my hand. And when I walked into that dwelling, I said, well, we're home. The psalmist said that I might dwell, that I might become an abider in the atmosphere of your house, that I know so well how to navigate it that it doesn't matter if it gets dark. If darkness surrounds me, if the light goes out, if I'm all alone, I do not fear, because I am dwelling in the atmosphere of God's house. Church, I'm asking you today to dwell in His house. Do not be a foreigner to home. Home is heaven. Heaven on earth. And I'm able to dwell in His presence. And I don't ever have to be worried if it gets dark, because I know well enough how to navigate through the night. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, watch this, I will fear no evil. Why? For I know that God is with me. Amen? How many know that God is with you this morning? Amen? Hallelujah. Well, you ought to thank Him. Come on, if you're going to praise Him with a shout. Praise Him with the glory. Praise Him with rejoicing. Praise Him with enthusiasm. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. In Acts 2:42, they continually dwelt with one another in the presence of the Lord. It was a continual dwelling. It's a continual dwelling. In Luke 24:52-53, they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with joy, and they were continually in the temple. Oh, I could be in the middle of Hinans, but I'm in the middle of His temple. Hallelujah. You could be dogging me out, cutting me down, rejecting me, but guess what? I can navigate through that darkness because I'm in my dwelling place. I know where I'm at. I am secure and safe because God is with me. He is the shepherd of my soul. So it matters not the trouble that surrounds me, because I am dwelling in the house of the Lord. You know, Jesus had to enter in where the disciples had vacated too. After He had been crucified and He was buried, they became fearful and they left to huddle together in an upper room. Do you remember the scripture? They were all there thinking, well, they were next. They were probably going to be murdered. What are we going to do now? Jesus is gone. And suddenly Jesus appears in John 20 and He says, peace. Peace I give you. It's an amazing scripture, because what He says is, you know what? Nothing's missing. Nothing's broken. If you'll just get back to the dwelling, even though you're in this atmosphere, in this circumstance, you can still live in my peace. Now, I know that to be true, because Jesus then breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Isn't that fun? Think about this. Jesus breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Now, how many know that if Jesus is exhaling, we ought to inhale? So if Jesus is exhaling, then we who are near Him ought to inhale. And actually, He was repeating Genesis 2:7. God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, and he became a what? Living being. How many know that the breath of God is what will resurrect your comatose spirit? Amen. The wind of God, watch this, the breath of God, the wind of God will light your fire. Come on, say, light my fire. Now, I like to play with candles. If you know me at all, you know I like candles. And no, I don't take baths and burn candles. So get that picture out of your mind. I don't do that. But I burn candles and read my Bible, and I like the, you know, matter of fact, I've got a candle right here on my phone. And it's so cool. I can burn a candle and actually blow it out. And it goes out, just blowing on my phone. I don't know who created that app, but I love it. But I noticed something about the candle. As long as the top is off the jar, it burns. But when I put the top on it, I watch the flame struggle for life. Have you ever noticed that? And suddenly it grows dim and then poof, it goes out. Now why did the candle go out? No oxygen. There's no breath. There's no wind. Let me present something to you and then I'm going to close. In Acts chapter 2, before the Holy Spirit fell in fire, the wind came first. The Bible said that suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind that blew into the place. God knew that if he was going to send the fire, there had to be wind to keep it burning. And if you and I want to operate in the fire of God in this time that we're living in, we've got to have the breath of God blowing over us. We need the wind of the Holy Spirit to be blowing within our lives, our marriages, our families, our churches, so that the fire of God can burn and do miraculous things among us. Jesus said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and he breathed on them. Let me say this, and you might want to write this down. This is a very profound statement, not because I'm saying it, but it has prophetic implication. When we lose the breath of the Spirit, we will lose the consciousness of the kingdom of God. When we lose the breath of God, it's like putting the cap on the candle and the flame goes out. It is extinguishing the conscious awareness of the kingdom of God among us. The portals, the windows of heaven that are open to us, the miraculous, the prophetic word, the gentleness of the Holy Spirit who wants to reveal. So you and I are going to be challenged this morning. Let me just say this. I'm going to present this challenge. Will you and I be the generation that will carry his presence so mightily, so profoundly, so absolutely, that Revelation 11:15 comes to pass? You say, well, I don't know. Let me see what Revelation 11:15 is. Here's what it reads. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven. Get the picture. Lots of shouts. Saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of our Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Now I'm going to challenge some of our thinking, because a lot of us in our eschatology have believed, or in the last days, we believe that that's coming. That God is going to come and he's going to create the kingdom on the earth, and all the kingdoms of the world that were in charge, that ruled, are now then going to become his kingdoms and he'll reign forever. But I am going to challenge you with saying, is there a generation that is so reliant on the breath of the Holy Spirit that they have created a consciousness of the kingdom that have literally turned this world upside down? Hold that scripture there for a minute, but let me remind you of Acts 17, I think it's verse 5. And they declared of the apostolic ministry as they came into the city, they said this, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also." In other words, those that took the breath of God and transferred that breath into their being became so conscious of the kingdom of God that they overthrew the kingdoms of this world and established them to be the kingdom of God. I declare to you today that the kingdom of drug addiction, can be transferred to the kingdoms of our Christ and of our Lord. I believe the kingdom of drunkenness and lewdness. I believe the kingdom of religiosity. I believe the kingdoms of finance and money and greed. Every one of those kingdoms can become the kingdoms of our Christ and of our Lord, because we have a consciousness of His kingdom, and we bring this kingdom into this earth. And suddenly now the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Christ and of our Lord. Would you agree with me this morning? Would you lift your hands up? Would you bless the Lord? Would you say, yes, Lord, establish it. Do it, O God, in our time, in our generation. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we have a choice. You can leave here today and get back to your many things mentality. Or you can say, you know what, I'm going to whittle my life down to one thing. That I might dwell. That I might seek. Then he said this. I love that song, and I don't know if you guys know it, but beholding your beauty is all that I long for. I didn't write it, so I don't know the words. I wrote Frank's book, though. You don't have to do that, too. Marlon, welcome back, man. And the whole point being to behold the beauty of the Lord. Yeah, leave that saying up. Behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate on His principles. Say this with me that's on the screen. Ready? Saturated. You say, Pastor, why are you doing these soaking services? Read it again. Darkness has dwelt long enough in northeastern Ohio. And the only way to encroach upon darkness is a transformed heart saturated with the presence of God. So right now, Father, I pray over every man, woman, boy, and girl. Jesus, that we wouldn't be churchgoers. That we simply wouldn't acknowledge Jesus as Savior or just add Him to what we believe or put a little Jesus in our rituals and traditions. But, oh God, that we would reduce it down to one thing. So we ask now, breath of God, breathe on me. Winds of God begin to blow upon our lives and upon our families and upon this region. And we pray for these ministries, God, that You supernaturally are linking us to. And Father, thank You for bringing truth to us. Woo. Thank You, Lord. You know, the Lord showed us through a teaching recently about any place. I think this is Francis Frangipane that wrote it. Any place in your life or my life where we don't have glistening hope in God is where we have believed a lie. Ooh, I got that one. I'm like, ooh. God, there's times in my life that I don't believe or have hope that things are going to change. He said, Kayton, that's where you believe the lie. You know what a lie is? It's a splinter of the devil. Let me help you with that. Did you know that cloven tongues of fire in Acts chapter 2 was literally splinters of God's fire? That's what it means in the Greek. So God splintered Himself off and sat upon each person. But do you know that when you believe a lie, because He's the father of lies in John 8:44, He literally splinters His person off and imparts it into you and me. It becomes a portal of control into our life. Any place where you and I believed a lie is a place where we have lost hope. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So I pray for a resurgence of hope, which will lead to great faith, which will result in great joy. And the people who know their God, come on, shall do great exploits, because there's an enemy to be defeated. There's a darkness to push back. And there's a Jesus who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to lift up and give Him all the glory. So come on, get up on your feet. Get up on your feet. Come on, get up on your feet. I'm looking for somebody who will give our King all the glory, all the praise, and worship Him. And worship Him. And come to the light. And have hope. And ask God for His wind to blow over your life. Amen. Lead us, brother. Come on, let's bless the Lord. Come on, let's bless the Lord.
You provide the fire.
Come on, Jesus.
And I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the Spirit,
and
I will open up inside. Fill me up, God. 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 Fill me.
Oh, my.
Come on, church.
Oh, my soul.
Love of God.
Pick it up again. Sing it.
Love of God. Overflow. Permeate.
One more time like that. Come on.
Oh, my soul.
Come on, lift up your voice. Sing it.
Love of God.
Father, we take that 30 seconds now, Lord, and we say, Father, without your winds, without your presence, we could do nothing, God. But with you, Lord, we can do all things, God. And we thank you today, Father, that you are filling your people, God. And when the winds blow, the fire burns. Ooh. When the winds blow, the fire burns. Yeah, it does, God. Thank you. When the winds blow, the fire burns. Thank you, Father. When the winds blow, the fire burns. When the wind blows, the fire burns. It burns, it burns, it burns. It burns in me. Father, let the winds blow, God. Breathe over us today, Father. And let us not, oh God, hide from your wind. But Lord, that we would stand tall in the presence of a living God and allow you to impart to us, Father, in this time, in this generation. We ask in Jesus' name. All God's people said, yes, that's me, amen. Now, before we go, we designated today as Spring Seed Sunday. Now, some of you may not know what that is, but for almost like 20 years, we took and received a special offering in the spring, above tithe and offering, to give it to the Lord and believe for a harvest that year. And we felt like the Lord said to do it again. So today we've designated that. Some of you prepared that. Some of you, this is the first time you're hearing about it. Or do I need a microphone? Okay. Thanks, that helps. Some of you may have never heard of the spring seed before, but it's a powerful tool that God's used. Over 20 years, we've seen tremendous things take place as you sow in faith. Now, it's not equal gifts. Don't ever think that you have to give the $1,000 because they're giving $1,000. It's equal sacrifice. Two mites will move God. It's a sacrifice. But But the envelopes are there before you. And if you would be so kind to take one of those envelopes, if you need to sit and go ahead and get that filled out, you can do that. Keep that going, because that's a great flow of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to participate in this offering as the Lord leads you. We're going to receive this, and then we're going to be released for today. But this offering, you can be seated. Be seated. Be seated. Oh, let the winds blow, God, let the winds blow, and the fire will burn. The fire will burn. Oh, let the winds blow, let the winds blow, and the fire will burn, it will burn in me. Fan the flame, Lord, fan the flame. Fan the flame, Lord, fan the flame. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Anyway, I'm trying to receive this offering. So, you want to give to it? God bless you. If you don't feel led to the Lord to do it, that's fine. But we want you to sow into spring seed. We're going to believe God with you for a great harvest this year, 2014. Some people are giving a week's equivalent of what they have as income. Others are giving the equivalent of an Xbox. Some are giving $25. Some are giving $1,000. Tina and I sowed $500, but that's just what God showed us to do. But we're believing God for increase, and we want to sow to the future of the transformation of this region. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for letting us serve God with you. We are so indebted. Thank you for trusting us. Thank you for coming back and joining the army of God every week. Now let's penetrate darkness with the breath of God. Amen. So making the check, just make it to CNC. We're going to go ahead and receive that. Go ahead and do that. And we're going to close and worship. And you want personal ministry, we're going to have some of our team come up. Some of our altar ministers, our prophetic team, please come up. And we want to minister to you. You need a word from the Lord. Maybe God's speaking to you about something. We want to just come in agreement with you. We want to bless you. You guys are amazing. Man, if I could, I'd run up during worship and hug each one of you. I would. I'd kiss you on the cheek. But it wouldn't be appropriate. But that's how I feel, all right? Because you all are amazing. Thank you. I think we need to be thankful for the team that God's given us in worship, right? The psalmists, the singers. Okay. So our altar team, are you ready? Come on up. Let the fire burn, Lord, let the fire burn. Let the winds blow, God, let the winds blow. Let it blow over me. Oh, let the wind blow, God, let the fire burn, Lord. Oh, you need prayer. You believe you need ministry. Let the word of the Lord come to you. I want you to come right now. I want you to live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Don't forget the dates. April 9th, 10th, and 11th. It's going to be an amazing supernatural time. Hunger Conference 2014. Looking forward to being together with you. Don't forget Wednesday night. Be a powerful ministry Wednesday night on the Prodigal Son. Don't miss that night. It's going to be awesome. Slavic Village continues in its outreach. Hey, young adults, 18 to 35, that would not be me, right here tonight at 6 o'clock with Pastor Adam and Jenna. So don't miss it. It's going to be off the hook, 18 to 35, right here, 6 o'clock tonight, okay? Let the wind blow, let the wind blow. Let the fire burn, oh God. Hallelujah. He's worthy, isn't he?